Quan Chi's eyes followed and surveyed the huge forms, the steel towers and concrete walls that were looming up from the floor of the canyon and clinging to its sides. He watched the men streaming like ants across the construction, and the machine, which spewed tons of concrete down into its heart. And then he declared to his fellow worker, "There'll be no more work today." As if in answer to Manchi's words, the rain began spattering down, and a moment later the steam whistle bellowed from construction headquarters on the hill. Two blasts, the signal to quit for the day. Manchi smiled at his companion, tossed down his shovel, and stood looking at him.
"You know, Manchi, sometimes I can't figure you Indians out. You seem to know what's going to happen hours in advance. Why, it ain't human."
And that's the start of another story by The Player. America's most versatile actor, Mr. Paul Frees, who will continue after a brief but important message from your announcer. Is your star, the player, Mr. Paul Frees.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is The Player, welcoming you to our presentation of The Prophecy. Driving rain made it necessary for the engineers to halt work on Big Fork Dam for the day. Most of the men laboring on the huge construction fell into the line that was streaming toward the bunkhouses on the eastern rim. For Manchi, a day free from his work was an opportunity to go home. Most of the time, he stayed at the bunkhouses with the others. As soon as he had put his tools in the shed, Manchi began his long walk down the canyon. When he reached the bottom of the rocky canyon, the stream was already bubbling and racing along with the new strength the rain had given it. The 5 miles up the canyon was accomplished quickly. It was not long until Manchi was standing at the doorway of the rude wooden shack that was the home of his father. He pushed back the thick covering of burlap sacking that hung in the opening and stepped in. His father was seated squat-legged in one corner, half asleep, beside the low fire that crackled in the stone fireplace.
"Hello, Okoni, my father."
Manchi spoke in English. The tight skin across the old man's face moved not a particle, but his cool black eyes turned slowly toward Manchi and rested on him, expressionless. Manchi hurriedly lapsed into the tongue of his own people.
"Kiranu. Do not be wrathful toward me, Okani, my father."
"Manchi, my son, is always welcome in the abode of his father, even if he has lost his place in the hearts of his people."
Manchi began removing his wet clothing and said no more until he'd wrapped himself in a blanket, tossed more wood on the fire, and squatted down beside it.
"Our people do not hate me for working on the dam. It is only you, my father. You are older and you don't realize that the world is different now. I do not question your wisdom, Okoni, but the new world is a strange world for you."
I knew of this new world before you were born to it, my estranged son.
How could that be, my father?
There was once a prophet who lived among our people. He told of the coming of all things. It was on a day like this when the prophet stood on a great mountain high above the nest of the eagles, stood while the heaven fire crashed about his ears. Then a voice came to him, a voice so loud that it surpassed the loudness of the thunder.
O prophet, tell thy people of the new world which will come. A new race shall appear, a people with skins as white as the snows on the mountainsides. They shall drive thy people across the plains until they find refuge in a great valley. But at the last this refuge will be lost too. A great wall shall rise out of the bottom of the valley, and the streams rushing down from the slope shall pound against its sides in vain. And the waters shall gather like warriors behind the wall to try to push together until it crumbles before their strength. But the water will fail and be pushed back until they cover the lands of thy people. They will grow until the mightiest trees are covered. The rabbit and deer and all animals shall race away before the waters, and the grasses and the herbs shall be lost below them. The birds will find no place to alight and will fly to the far hills to await the coming of the frightened animals. And at last thy people too will flee from their valley and be scattered to the four winds.
During the whole recital of the legend, Manchi had listened carefully to the words of his father. Surely no voice from the heavens could so exactly describe what was sure to happen when the Big Fork Dam was completed and the Great Lake began to form beside it. That was incredible. Manchi stirred, and his father noticed his uneasiness.
You do not believe, Manchi, my son.
Rather, I do not understand, Okoni.
The years make all things clear. At first, I did not understand about the wall across the valley and the coming of the waters.
Outside, the rain had let up, and Manchi rose to see if his clothing had dried out. Okoni spoke.
You will go back to the dam?
The rain has stopped. Perhaps they will want us to work again.
But there is more to the prophecy. More I must tell you, my son.
I'm sorry, my father, but I will hear no more. I'm going back to the dam to work. If it is to be anyhow, there is no reason to fight it.
There is more prophecy. More you should hear.
Manchi didn't answer, but turned to put on his khakis. A withered hand appeared from the folds of Okoni's blanket, a hand with palm turned upwards.
Manchi, my son, Okoni ask it of you. Do not go back to the dam.
When Manchi whirled, the words snapped out were in English.
I've got to go. Nothing you can say will stop me. I've got to go back.
Okoni did not understand the words, but he blinked his eyes, and for the first time in all his years, he felt the moisture of tears in them. Except for a few scattered clouds, the next day dawned bright and clear. The men were reluctant to get back to work, and Manchi shared this feeling with them. All through the morning, he shoveled sand into the conveyor and then rode it out to feed it into the hungry machines. And Manchi's thoughts wandered back to all that had happened the day before. Manchi's companion aroused him from his thoughts.
Well, come on, Manchi. The big Bertha's shooting out concrete pretty fast. Better give it another load of sand.
Manchi jumped down off the cart and signaled to the workmen at the controls of the crane. Iron jaws grasped the conveyor, lifted it up, and dumped its contents into the mixture.
Well, Monchi, how about a prophecy on the weather today?
Almost as mechanically as the machines, Monchi looked up at the heavens.
Monchi! Monchi, look out! Look out!
It was too late. The boom had swung around, pushed him over the side. He whirled down, down, down. And before the machine could be stopped, countless tons of concrete thundered down on top of him. Trying to rescue Monchi was useless. If the flying boom had not killed him, then surely the fall had. And if the fall hadn't, then he would be smothered before they could reach him. Would they try to retrieve his body? No. It would cost too much in time and labor. And besides, his burial there would be an honorable one. The men who knew Monchi shook their heads and tight-lipped went back to their work. But there was one who spoke. High on the hillside, looking down on the dam, stood Okoni. His face set in a mask and his eyes narrowed on the spot where his son Monchi had fallen.
Monchi. Monchi, my son. It is Okoni, your father, who speaks. You would not listen to the rest of the prophecy, but hear it now. The voice that was louder than the thunder spoke from the heavens and said,
a great wall shall rise out of the valley, and the wall shall be built of the bones of thy people.
And so ends another story by The Player, starring your one-man theater, Paul Frees, who portrays all of the parts. Mr. Frees will return in just a moment, after a few words from your announcer.
Prophecy was written by Rich Hall and produced by Sam Kerner, with music composed and performed by Rami Idris. Special effects by Fred Cole. Your announcer was Gary Goodwin. This is The Player, Paul Frees, saying goodbye until next we meet.